6. Just past the Duke of New York going east was offices, and then there was the starry beat-up Biblio, and then was the Bolshy flat block called Victoria flat block, after some victory or other, and then you came to the, like, starry-type houses of the town in what was called Old Town. You got some of the real horror show ancient domies here, my brothers, with starry ludies living in them, thin old barking like colonels with sticks and old petitsas who were widows and deaf starry dharmas with cats who, my brothers, had felt not the touch of any Chelovic in the whole of their pure like jisneys. And here, true, there were starry veshes that would fetch their share of cutter on the tourist market, like pictures and jewels and other starry pre-plastic cal of that type. So we came nice and quiet to this domey called The Manse, and there were globe lights outside on iron stalks, like guarding the front door on each side. And there was a light, like, dim on in one of the rooms on the ground level, and we went to a nice patch of street, dark, to watch through the window what was ittying on. This window had iron bars in front of it, like the house was a prison, but we could viddy nice and clear what was ittying on. What was ittying on was that this starry petitza, very grey in the volos and with a very liney-like litzo, was pouring the old maloko from a milk bottle into saucers and then setting these saucers down on the floor so you could tell there were plenty of mewing cots and koshkas writhing about down there. And we could viddy one or two great fat skatinas jumping up onto the table with their rots open going, "Wah! Wah! Wah!" And you could viddy this old babushka talking back to them, gavaritting in like scoldy language to her pussies. In the room, you could viddy a lot of old pictures on the walls and starry, very elaborate clocks. Also some like vases and ornaments that looked starry and dorogoy. Georgie whispered, "Real horror show thing to be gotten for them, brothers. Will the English is real anxious." Pete said, "How in?" Now it was up to me, and scurry, before Georgie started telling us how. "First vesh," I whispered, "is to try the regular way, the front. I will go very polite and say that one of my droogs has had a, like, funny fainting turn on the street. Georgie can be ready to show when she opens that wise. Then to ask for water or to phone the doc. Then in easy." Georgie said, "She may not open." I said, "Well, try it, yes?" And he sort of shrugged his plechos, making with a frog's rot. So I said to Pete and old Dim, "You two droogies get either side of the door, right?" They nodded in the dark, "Right, right, right." So I said to Georgie, and I made bold straight for the front door. There was a bell push, and I pushed, and brrrr, brrrr sounded down the hall inside. A like sense of slooshying followed, as though the petitza and her koshkas all had their ears back at the brrrr, brrrr, wondering. So I pushed the old zovanok a malenki bit more urgent. I then bent down to the letter slit and called through in a refined like gloss, "Help, madam, please, my friend has just had a funny turn on the street. Let me phone a doctor, please." Then I could viddy a light being put on in the hall, and then I could hear the old babushka's nogas going flip-flap in flip-flap slippers to nearer the front door, and I got the idea, I don't know why, that she had a big, fat pussycat under each arm. And then she called out in a very surprising, deep, like, gloss, "Go away. Go away or I shoot." Georgie heard that and wanted to giggle. I said, with light suffering and urgency in my gentleman's gloss, "Oh, please help, madam. My friend's very ill." "Go away," she called. "I know your dirty tricks, making me open the door and then buy things I don't want. Go away, I tell you." That was real lovely innocence, that was.
"Go away," she said again, "or I'll set my cats on you." A malenky bit bazoomny she was, you could tell that, through spending her jeezny all on her oddy knocky.
Then I looked up and I vidded that there was a sash window above the front door, and that it would be a lot more scorry to just do the old plecho climb and get in that way. Else there'd be this argument all the long notchy. So I said,
"Very well, madam, if you won't help, I must take my suffering friend elsewhere."
And I winked my droogies all away quiet, only me crying out,
"All right, old friend, you will surely meet some good Samaritan some place other. This old lady perhaps cannot be blamed for being suspicious with so many scoundrels and rogues of the night about. No, indeed not."
Then we waited again in the dark, and I whispered, "Right, return to the door, me stand on Dim's plechos, open that window and me enter droogies, then to shut up that old petitza and open up for all, no trouble." For I was like showing who was leader and the chelovec with the ideas. "See," I said, "real horror show bit of stonework over that door, a nice hold for my nogas." They vidded all that, admiring perhaps, I thought, and said, and nodded, "Right, right, right," in the dark. So, back, tiptoe to the door. Dim was our heavy, strong Malchick, and Pete and Georgie like heaved me up onto Dim's bolshy, manly plechos. All this time, oh, thanks to worldcasts on the Gloopy TV and more Ludi's night fear through lack of night police, dead lay the street. Up there, on Dim's plechos, I vidded that this stonework above the door would take my boots lovely. I kneed up, brothers, and there I was. The window, as I had expected, was closed, but I outed with my Britva and cracked the glass of the window smart with the bony handle thereof. All the time below, my droogies were hard breathing. So I put in my rooker through the crack and made the lower half of the window sail up, open, silver smooth and lovely. And I was like getting into the bath inn. And there were my sheep down below, their rots open as they looked up. Oh, brothers. I was in bumpy darkness with beds and cupboards and bolshy heavy stoolies and piles of boxes and books about, but I strode manfully towards the door of the room I was in, seeing a like crack of light under it. The door went squeak, and then I was on a dusty corridor with other doors. All this waste, brothers, meaning all these rooms, and but one starry sharp and her pussies. But perhaps the Cots and Koshkas had like separate bedrooms, living on cream and fish heads, like royal queens and princes. I could hear the like muffled galosh of this old petitza down below saying, "Yes, yes, yes, that's it." But she would be gover-eating to these mewing sidlers, going, "Ma!" for more maloko. Then I saw the stairs going down to the hall, and I thought to myself that I would show these fickle and worthless droogs of mine that I was worth the whole three of them and more. I would do all on my oddy knocky. I would perform the old ultra-violence on the starry petitza and on her puss-pots if need be. Then I would take fair rookerfuls of what looked like real Polesny stuff and go waltzing to the front door and open up, showering gold and silver on my waiting droogs. They must learn all about leadership. So down I itted, slow and gentle, admiring in the stairwell Grasny pictures of old time, devotchkas with long hair and high collars, the like country with trees and horses, the holy bearded Vec all Nadjoy hanging on a cross. There was a real musty von of pussies and pussy fish and starry dust in this domey, different from the flat blocks. And then I was downstairs, and I could vidy the light in this front room where she'd been doling maloko to the Cots and Koshkas. More, I could vidy these great overstuffed skatinas going in and out with their tails waving and like rubbing themselves on the door bottom.
On a, like, big wooden chest in the dark hall, I could vidy a nice Malenki statue that shone in the light of the room. So I crested this for my own self, it being like of a young thinned Votchka standing on one noga with her rookers out, and I could see this was made of silver. So I had this when I itted into the lit-up room, saying, "Hi, hi, hi! At last we meet. Our brief govereat through the letter hole was not, shall we say, satisfactory, yes? Let us admit not, oh verily not, you stinking, starry old sharp." And I like blinked in the light at this room and the old petitza in it. It was full of cots and koshkas all crawling to and fro over the carpet, with bits of fur floating in the lower air. And these fat skatinas were all different shapes and colours, black, white, tabby, ginger, tortoise shell, and of all ages too. So there were kittens fillying about with each other, and there were pussies full grown, and there were real dribbling, starry ones, very bad tempered. Their mistress, this old petitza, looked at me fierce like a man and said, "How did you get in? Keep your distance, you villainous young toad, or I shall be forced to strike you." I had a real horror show smeck at that, vidying that she had in her veiny rooker a crappy wood walking stick which she raised at me, threatening. So, making with my shiny zoobies, I itted a bit nearer to her, taking my time, and on the way I saw on a like sideboard a lovely little vesh, the loveliest Malenki vesh any Malchik fond of music like myself could ever hope to vidy with his own two glazies, for it was like the Gulliver and Plechos of Ludwig van himself, what they call a bust, a like stone vesh with stone long hair and blind glazies and the big flowy cravat. I was off for that right away, saying, "Well, how lovely, and all for me." But ittying towards it with my glazies like full on it and my greedy rooker held out, I did not see the milk saucers on the floor, and into one I went and sort of lost balance. "Whoops," I said, trying to steady, but this old petitza had come up behind me very sly and with great scorriness for her age, and then she went crack, crack on my gulliver with her bit of a stick. So I found myself on my rookers and knees, trying to get up and saying, "Naughty, naughty, naughty," and then she was going crack, crack again, saying, "Wretched, little, slummy, bedbug, breaking into real people's houses." I didn't like this crack, crack, Egra, so I grasped hold of one end of her stick as it came down again, and then she lost her balance and was trying to steady herself against the table. But then the tablecloth came off with a milk jug and a milk bottle going all drunk, then scattering white splosh in all directions. Then she was down on the floor, grunting, going, "Blast you, boy, you shall suffer." Now, all the cats were getting spoogey and running and jumping in a light cat panic, and some were blaming each other, hitting out cat Tolchocks with the old lapper and ptah and grrr and quack. I got onto my nogas, and there was this nasty, vindictive, starry Forello with her wattles a-shake and grunting as she, like, tried to lever herself up from the floor. So I gave her a Malenki fair kick in the litso, and she didn't like that, crying, "Wah!" And you could vidy her veiny, mottled litso going purple-whurple where I'd landed the old noga. As I stepped back from the kick, I must have, like, trod on the tail of one of these dratsing, creeching pusspots, because I slooshied a gromky "Wah!" and found that, like, fur and teeth and claws had, like, fastened themselves round my leg, and there I was, cursing away and trying to shake it off, holding this silver Malenki statue in one rooker and trying to climb over this old petitza on the floor to reach lovely Ludwig van in frowning like stone. And then I was into another saucer brimful of creamy Maloko and near went flying again. The whole vesh, really a very humorous one if you could imagine it, slew chatting to some other vec and not to your humble narrator. And then the starry petitzer on the floor reached over all the dratzing, yowling pusscats and grabbed at my noga, still going wah at me, and my balance being a bit gone, I went really crash this time onto sploshing Maloko and skriking Koshkas, and the old Forella started to fist me on the litzo, both of us being on the floor, creeching, thrash him, beat him, pull out his fingernails, the poisonous young beetle, addressing her pusscats only, and then, as if like obeying the starry old petitzer, a couple of koshers got onto me and started scratching like Bazoomny. So then I got real Bazoomny myself, brothers, and I hit out at them. But this babushka said, "Toad, don't touch my kitties," and I scratched my litzo. So then I creached, "You filthy old sumka," and upped with the little Malenki like silver statue and cracked her a fine fair tolchok on the gulliver, and that shut her up real horror show and lovely. Now, as I got up from the floor among all the cracking cots and koshkas, what should I slushy but the shoom of the old police auto siren in the distance? And it dawned on me, Scorry, that the old Forella of the pusscats had been on the phone to the Millicents when I thought she'd been gavereating to the Mewlers and Mowlers, her having got her suspicions, Scorry, on the boil when I'd rung the old Zvonok pretending for help. So now, slushying this fearsome shoom of the Rosvan, I belted for the front door and had a rabbiting time undoing all the locks and chains and bolts and other protective feshes. Then I got it open, and who should be on the doorstep but old Dim, me just being able to vidy the other two of my so-called droogs belting off. "Away," I creeched to Dim, "the Rosses are coming." Dim said, "You stay to meet them, ha ha ha." And then I vidded that he had his Uzi out. And then he upped with it, and it snaked, whoosh, and he chained me, gentle and artistic, like on the glass lids, me just closing them up in time. Then I was howling around, trying to vidy with this howling great pain, and Dim said, "I don't like you should do what you done, old droogie. Not right it wasn't to get onto me like the way you..." And then I could slushy his bolshy, lumpy boots beating off, him go huh, 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 into the darkmans, and it was only about 7 seconds after that I slushied the Millicent van draw up with a filthy great dropping siren howl like some Bazoomny animal snuffing it. I was howling too and like yawing about, and I banged my gulliver smack on the hall wall, my glazies being tight shut and the juice astream from them, very agonising. So there I was, like, groping in the hallway as the Millicents arrived. I couldn't vidy them, of course, but I could slushy and damn near smell the von of the bastards, and soon I could feel the bastards as they got rough and did the old twist-arm act, carrying me out. I could also slushy one Millicent galos saying from, like, the room I'd come out of with all the cots and koshkas in it, "She's been nastily knocked, but she's breathing." And there was loud mewing all the time. "A real pleasure, this is," I heard another Millicent galos say as I was toll-chocked very rough and Scorry into the auto. "Little Alex, all to our own selves." I creeched out, "I'm blind! Bog, bust and bleed you, you grasny bastards!" "Language, language," like smecked a galos, and then I got a, like, backhand toll-chop with some ringy rooker or other full on the rot. I said, "Bog murder you, you vonny stinking bretchneys. Where are the others? Where are my stinking traitorous droogs? One of my cursed grasny bretties chained me on the glazies. Get them before they get away. It was all their idea, brothers. They, like, forced me to do it. I'm innocent. Bog butcher you."
By this time, they were all having, like, a good smack at me with the height of, like, callousness, and they'd toll-chocked me into the back of the auto, but I still kept on about these so-called droogs of mine, and then I vidded it would be no good because they'd all be back now in the snug of the Duke of New York forcing black and suds and double Scotchmen down the unprotesting gorlos of those stinking starry ptitzers, and they saying, "Thanks, lads. God bless you, boys. Been here all the time, you have, lads. Not been out of our sight, you haven't." All the time, we were sirening off to the Roz shop, me being wedged between two Millicents and being given the odd thump and malenki toll chop by these smecking bullies. Then I found I could open up my glass lids a malenki bit and viddy light through all tiers a kind of a streamy city going by, all the lights like having run into one another. I could viddy now through smarting glazzies these two smecking Millicents at the back with me and the thin-necked driver and the fat-necked bastard next to him, this one having a sarky-like govery at me saying, "Well, Alex boy, we all look forward to a pleasant evening together, don't we not?" I said, "How do you know my name, you stinking vonny bully? May Bog blast you to hell, Grazny Brachny as you are, you sod." So they all had a smack at that. And I had my uko like twisted by one of these stinking Millicents at the back with me. The fat-necked knot driver said, "Everybody knows little Alex and his droogs. Quite a famous young boy our Alex has become." "It's those others," I creeched, "Georgie and Dim and Pete. No droogs of mine, the bastards." "Well," said the fat neck, "you've got the evening in front of you to tell the whole story of the daring exploits of those young gentlemen and how they led poor little innocent Alex astray." Then there was the shoom of another light police siren passing this auto but going the other way.
"Is that for those bastards?" I said. "Are they being picked up by you bastards?"
"That," said Fatneck, "is an ambulance, doubtless for your old lady victim, you ghastly wretched scoundrel."
"It was all their fault," I creeched, blinking my smarting glazzies. "The bastards will be peeting away in the Duke of New York. Pick them up, blast you, you vonny sods."
And then there was more smecking and another malenki toll chock, oh my brothers, on my poor smarting rock. And then we arrived at the stinking Roz shop, and they helped me get out of the auto with kicks and pulls, and they toll chocked me up the steps, and I knew I was going to get nothing like fair play from these stinking Grazny Brachnys. Bog blast them.